unusual punishment. Make me carry my cross when you're going to kill me. Amen? How many lawyers we have lined up fighting this thing? Oh, we'd be fighting till the cows came home, and then even after they got milk, wouldn't we? But not Jesus. Because he came with the purpose to lay down his life for you and me. To redeem us from our sins. To save us from our sins when we didn't even know we were in sin. How many of us just thought we were okay, just kind of ornery? Amen? Yes. And so what we did to feel good about ourselves, we hung around other ornery people, didn't we? Yes. That's why you did it, brother. Yes, yes. Yeah. Yeah. Maybe because you hung around other ornery people, you didn't feel bad, did you? It's kind of like if you want to feel better about yourself, hang around ugly people. You know? That's why I invited you all here this morning. No.
You bad.
I bad. But man, when that light came on, I was 43 years old when that light came on. I thought, man, this thing I call enjoyment is sin. And it hit me head on. And wow, I recognized my need for a Savior. And Jesus was there. Man, I traded my sin life. I traded my death, my time in hell, to the Lord. He wanted to take it. That's the whole purpose why he died on the cross, for my filth. Sometimes you think, well, how can I go to Jesus? Look at my lifestyle, look at what I do. But that's exactly why he came, to redeem us. Oh, wow. And when he redeems us, we receive his goodness. He said, okay, follow me. He turned your back on the world. Then he asks us to do a very simple thing, but very complex. Just do what I do. Christ asks us to do nothing more than what he did. So when he says, pick up your cross and follow me, the cross is a sign of a death sentence. He's saying, okay, die to yourself. Die to the lust of the world. Die to the worldly needs. And follow me. Look what I went through, he says. Look what God had his son go through to redeem us. And folks, we can do the same thing with him. Amen? As we're singing, the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ up from the grave now comes and lives in us as Christians. There's nothing that he has ever asked us to do that we can't do with him. Amen? In fact, what he asks us to do, we can't do it without him. Oh, we try. How many times do you start a new page? I'm going to do things different this time. This is Monday, Dan. I'm going to be different. You know, I'm tired of the way it was on Friday and Saturday. And by Tuesday, you're right back where you come from. Good intentions. But only God, only Christ can deliver us. Amen? Amen. So I just want to take a moment, and we're going to look at what Christ went through for you and I. And we're all familiar with it. But isn't it good to be reminded once in a while? You know, me and the missus. I'm sorry, I call her missus, but makes you sound old. Me and my wife will be celebrating 45 years of marriage this year.
Makes me sound old.
Oh, okay. How about this one? This grandma I'm married to, okay.
Oh, wow.
But did anybody ever repeat your vows after being married? Yeah. How many times do you repeat every day? Okay. Amen. Well, we look at what Christ had done for us. And I'm going to look at probably four different windows today. Different windows? Yes, when we talk about Jesus, we got a window that Matthew saw him through, Mark, Luke, and John. And last week we celebrated the communion, the Passover. And I'm going to start off, I'm going to be in John, chapter 18. And Jesus finished having the communion, just broke bread with the disciples. Now that he's gone out. But there's somebody within his organization there turned his back on. His name is Judas. Judas would go out and make a deal with God's enemy. Now listen, I'll sell you out Jesus for silver, 30 pieces of silver. You know, and you look prior to it, I won't get into it, but before that, you would notice that the disciples were around Jesus. Remember the lady came in that alabaster jar, a real expensive perfume? Remember that? And that they put it on her feet. And the disciples and Jesus said, hey, man, don't do that. That ought to be sold and the money should be given to the poor. And Jesus said, listen, you already have the poor among you, but not me. Wow, that makes sense, doesn't it? Well, one person didn't agree with that. And who was that? Judas. He was in charge of the treasury. He wanted money. So I figured, you think, okay, that was worth 30 pieces of silver. I'll get that money back in the treasure. So he went and made a deal that I'll bring it to Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. So we catch up with the master here in John 18:1. So now when Jesus has spoken these words, and I'm sharing from the New American Standard, yours might be a little bit different, but same contents. Has spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, for there was a garden which he entered into with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort, an officer from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Okay, let's pile this for a second. Judas knew where Jesus was hanging out at. So he went and got the cohorts, the soldiers. Now listen to this. A legion of soldiers is 6,000. A cohort is 10% of that. Judas is bringing 600 soldiers with him, plus the temple police coming with them. And they have got lights, what we would call them spotlights, and lanterns, and torches, and weapons. Think of this. I know sometimes we see on TV, we see maybe 3 or 4 guys come with a flashlight, you know. Not a flashlight, a torch. But man, look at all the people that's coming. Look how scared they are of Jesus. See, Judas was probably telling how powerful Jesus is. Watch out, he raised him from the dead. I see him put the eyeball back in a socket. Man, he even multiplied the fish and the bread. He's got power beyond me. Oh, man. So they're coming. And why so many of them? Well, how many times before that they said that as they were coming toward Jesus, he just kind of disappeared in the crowd, right? Yeah. Remember that? Amen? They didn't get away this time. Here they come with the torch. We're going to find that guy. We're going to put him down. We're going to pin him down. Man, they got weapons. They got clubs. They are scared to death of Jesus for his power. Man. And the whole hillside at that time, the cavern where he's at and stuff, they're looking for him. Oh, my. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, he knew this and still in the garden. Why? Because he came to die for you and me. And they went forth and said to them, Jesus said, who do you seek? They answered him, Jesus, the Nazarene. He said to them, I am he. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. I am he. What did God say to Moses on the mountain? I am. You hear the power of God? We're looking for Jesus. I am. Boom! Man, the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Man, down they went. See how powerful the name of Jesus is? How powerful God is? We'll get probably 600 or 700 soldiers laying back now, all these tough guys. I don't know about you, that would scare me to death. I would turn and be running. If I looked around and seen all my buddies laying out, the guys I worked out with, I trained with, you know, I'd be gone. Exit stage left. Jesus told him, I told you I am he, so if you seek me, I'm in verse 8 here. You let these go their way to fulfill the word which was spoken. Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one. Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. Verse 10. So picture this, they fell back. 700 people probably temple. And they mention Peter sees Malchus. And he draws out his sword. Man, that's awesome. And cut off his right ear. Yeah, and we've really been studying this last several weeks. He didn't just cut off the ear. If you look at the original Hebrew translation, he castrated his ear. It wasn't just a piece. It took the whole thing off. Oh, you got this bone hanging out there. Man. Now, this is John's account. Now, let's jump over here. Let's go over here and look at Matthew for a second. Okay? We're going to intertwine these together today. And he says, chapter 26, of verse 47, while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up unaccompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Again, here he comes. And 600 soldiers plus. Now he was betraying him, gave him a sign saying, now whoever I kiss, he is the one for you to seize. Verse 49 says, immediately Judas went to Jesus and said, Hail, Rabbi! And kissed him. Wow. I mean, can you imagine being Jesus? And here comes this dude that you broke supper with, that you fed, you clothed. And he comes up and he's going to hug you and give you a kiss. Knowing that he just sold you out. Wow. How many people can put up with that? How many today could embrace someone that just stabbed you in the back, lied about it, cheated about it, sold you out? But Jesus did. Why? Because his purpose in life. As we see these things, guys, it's the same purpose that we as followers of Jesus has today. Amen? Yes. That's why it isn't that popular to be a follower of Jesus. Because we still got the old man inside of us. And I'm telling you, well, I got my rights. Do you know who I am? Wow. But Jesus is the one that we look to. He's our model. He's who we would be at. And folks, I don't know how many times you fail him, and I fail him, it doesn't change the love he has for us. Amen? He wants to be like him, but when we fail it, Lord, he says, come on, Starkey, come on. Get a little more tough skin in there, you know? I know, God, I know. Isn't that awesome? That he wants to see each one of us to succeed in life. No matter how many times we fall down, no matter how stinking we get at times, no matter how we let the flesh raise up, he still wants us to be triumphant. So I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be like Jesus. Amen? He's our model. But he kissed him, and Jesus said to him, Friend, do what you have come for. Friend! He held no hostilities towards Judas. All right, friend. Go ahead. Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and they seized him. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus reached and drew out his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back into place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword. So what he's saying then, now Jesus told him earlier, one sword is enough, take it with you. What Peter did, He wasn't thinking what God's will was. Wasn't the will of God for his son to be crucified? So instead of responding in the spirit, responding, following God, he fell back, the old man, hey, shoo! And it's probably kind of awkward, too. Think of this. Peter was a fisherman. There's a lot of difference between a fishing pole and maybe a 60-pound sword. It might be why he cut off his ear. Oh, man, this thing is heavy. He was going to cut off the guy's head. And just took the ear off. So we are the same today, like Peter. When something's going on, we got to make sure first, God, what is thy will? Before we respond in the flesh, God, what you have me to do? That takes a lot of training, does it not? Because we're so used to protecting ourselves and lashing out at times. Peter, put your sword back into place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword. Or do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? Okay, we're going back to Jesus again. Look how powerful he is. 12 legions of angels. One legion is 6,000 angels. I went to Vidra, but I'll try to figure this out. 6,000 times 12 is 72,000 angels. Now, that's a lot of angels, okay? Yeah. Now, think of this. In 1 Kings, just take a word for this for a second. In 1 Kings, I think chapter 8 or 9, I'm not sure. But God had an army coming against his people, Assyrians. God sent one angel that wiped out 185,000 soldiers. Think of that. So you take 72,000 angels, multiply by 185,000, you get somewhere around 16 or 18 billion soldiers. They wiped out the population of the whole world. How many times? That's how much power was exposed to Jesus that day. Did he call on them? Did he say, come? Dad, look what they're doing to me. You know who I am? No, I've got a job to do. I want to do this. And folks, he wants us to do the same thing, amen? Folks, and the day that we are in is no different than what Jesus was. They are coming against the church, or coming against our standard of living, and come against Jesus. They hate us because, not us, because of Jesus who lives in us. They despise us because, man, we talk about joy and peace and love and salvation and being redeemed from our sins. And and they hate that. Wasn't that what Jesus was telling them? Hey, listen, man. You're in sin. I can redeem you of sin. I'm the Son of God. And they hated him for it. And for us, the persecution is coming greater against Christians who are following. I'm talking about born-again Christians, the followers of Jesus. They're going to hate us more and more. Despise us. They're going to insult you. Ever been insulted before? I've been there, done that. I remember in grade school, buck teeth and four eyes. In third grade, I was fat man, according to my teacher. It don't feel good, does it? But Jesus responded out of love. And he wants us to do the same. Folks, we have to train our spirit for that. Amen? We have to be stronger for that. This is the greatest time of the church ever had since the beginning of Pentecost. To show God's love. To bring people forth out of darkness. And how can we show them the light if we're bringing darkness towards them? If we respond to evil with evil, so we have to make sure, man, help me God. Sometimes God It's the parallel. God, help me keep my mouth shut today. Amen. Amen. I might say it 14 times in a day. Because my desire, God, is to represent you, to show your love. In Matthew 26:54, how then will the scripture be fulfilled, which say that it must happen this way? So you go back to Isaiah, he even prophesied that the Messiah will be crucified. You know that? And that before crucifixion was ever even invented yet. The Romans hadn't invented that yet. So you talk about, man, was this guy really the Messiah? Come on. Wow. Verse 55, at that time Jesus said to the crowds, have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would against a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this was taking place to fulfill the scripture of the prophets. Then all the disciples left him and fled. Oh, man. When they say, I'll be with you forever. Let's turn over to Luke for a moment. Luke 22. Again, they're all describing the same event, but from a different, little bit different angle. I'd be like, right now, I'm up in front of the church, and Chuck is talking to Marty back here, okay? Let's say he was. I heard him say something about cows and a calf being delivered, okay? Well, man, church today, Chuck and Marty was talking about the calf being delivered. But back here, Jeff's a little bit closer to Chuck and Marty. And he hears out that, man, there were twin calves. And you got one more cow being going to be delivered later on today, okay? So he writes it down. Still the same event, but you heard more of it. And then back here, man, Brother Terry said, yeah, they're having a hog roast tonight, okay? All this comes together, written down. This would be the gathering of the saints today. That would be Sunday, April the 4th. This is the event that took place. But how close are you to the event? And that's how the disciples are. They're showing you what they heard and saw. That's why some has a little bit more than others, because they were a little bit closer to the scene. Amen? Amen. So here we go. Luke 22, verse 39. And he came out and proceeded as was his custom in the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at this place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away and knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Pause there for a moment. Right now, a lot of us going through that right now. God, come and get me. God, take me home. I just can't go through any more of it, God. My heart's broken. I'm at wit's end. That sound familiar to anybody this morning? No more. That's what Jesus said, but then he said, wait a second. But God, not my will. But your will be done. God, my heart's broken, but God, not my... And what's his will? The main will is that no one would perish. God, give me the strength today for one more day. Let me live for you. Let me shine your light. Let someone else come to know the goodness of you. One more soul redeemed, just as you redeemed me, just as you redeemed my loved ones. Let me be used by you, God. One more day. Give me the strength. Just one more day. I don't need that strength for Friday. Friday ain't here. But for today, Lord. Folks, we live one day at a time. We have a lot more joy and peace in our life. Sometimes we worry about things on Friday and it's completely... There's nothing there on Friday. One day. We know he's coming soon. He's coming for the church. He promises us, man, the trumpet's going to sound, the dead and rise, Christ is going to rise up, and those of us who are alive will be changed and taken to heaven, and tribulation upon this earth will be like you've never seen before. We know that day is coming. But one more day, one more soul. Give me the strength, Lord. That's what kept Jesus going. He wasn't looking at himself, he's looking at us. And Luke 22:43. Now an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. Wow. Isn't that awesome? When he said, not your will, but my, not my will, but your will be done. He was saying, okay, God, what do you want to do? The angels will set to strengthen him. He does the same thing to us today. Yes. We'll fight the flesh for a while. We'll all argue with God once in a while. We'll look at his scriptures. We'll try to turn it upside down, backwards, trying to justify what we want to do or don't want to do. But man, I'm telling you what, the moment you say, okay, God, not my will, but your will, there comes a peace over you, doesn't it? When you know, okay, I'm in the perfect will of God. Now, his angels, as he talks about in Psalms 91, and he says, my angel has been assigned to you, so we got two angels watching over us, at least two, to be plural. And that's enough to take out what? Almost 400,000. I mean, come on. Wow. Yes. When we find our fulfillment in Christ and Christ alone, man, we have a peace in our life. Because what we struggle with a lot of times is giving up the old habits, right? The old ways. I know a lot of folks today, can, like last year, can be kind of down and out and depressed today because, well, they ain't like it used to be. We're not having a gathering like it used to be. And we're not doing this, but I'm telling you what. The whole celebration today is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we stay focused on that. Wow. We have loved ones that's passed on. Because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, man, we have a glory and a hope through Christ Jesus. We're going to see them again. Wow. Focus on the meaning of the season we're in. Verse 44, and being in agony, Jesus was praying very fervently, and his sweat became the like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. That's how intense he was in that. When he rose in prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. That's a key for us. You fall in temptation once in a while? Pray before you go, you won't fall into it. Lord, I got to be in this place today. I get around them folks. I either start running my mouth, or they run their mouths. I do stuff I don't want to do, but I got to be there today. Lord, I just pray today, I shall not fall into temptation. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The glory of God surrounds me. The angels are watching over me. Send forth the angels, God. Now I keep my mouth shut, my ears closed, God. I'll just do what you called me to do. And I'm telling you what, it works. His word is true. If we have that desire. Amen? Verse 47, while he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them, and he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? So Luke's a little bit closer, isn't he? Because John didn't speak about that. Are you betraying me with a kiss? Boy, he just called Judas eyeball to eyeball. Wow. I mean, he's got all these guys behind him. He's powerful right now, Judas is. You know what I'm saying? Got all these people. He's got some change in his pocket. But God just called him on the carpet. Judas, you're going to betray me with a kiss? I can't imagine what it felt like. There had to be some type of remorse. Something had to come over Judas right then. Like, when those who were around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear, which is Malchus. But Jesus answered and said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests and officers of the temple and elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you not lay hands on me, but this hour and power of darkness are yours. Okay, let's back up. Let's go back here to verse 51. Jesus said, stop, no more of this. And he touched his ear and healed him. Malchus, remember he was spoken of, the name was given to us, Malchus. And remember we said it wasn't just cut the ear off, it was castrated from the side of the head, the bone is out. Malchus, if I put it in today's language, he is the press secretary the high priest, the ones who's come after Jesus to kill him. When they wanted something spoken about Jesus, Malchus was the one. Think of that. He'd been the one saying, hey, he got a devil in him. Jesus is a liar. Of all them people there that day, of all them coming after him, there's one named Malchus. How many times had Peter heard him defame Jesus? How many times he spoke against his Lord? How many times would he say insults to Jesus? How bad did Peter despise Malchus? They had the opportunity, Brother Bob. Grab that sword, I'll shut you up. How dare you. And went for his head and got his ear. Now, is Jesus getting ready to be crucified? Does Jesus know the scriptures? Does he know about the lashing coming? Cat of nine tails coming? The nails coming through him? Oh, the whipping, the insults? Does he know all this? But what does he do? But he did more than that. You're right. But look what he did. All right, Peter, quit messing up. Jesus got rid of the evidence. Understand, he just struck somebody with power. Somebody who was wrapped up in the Romans. Peter had a death sentence for raising a sword against Malchus. He even put to death. But Jesus, with his love. All right, I'm going to cross. Peter, hang on. I lands. Boom. Now, this is Malchus. Malchus has been speaking against Jesus. Malchus was a Sadducee. You know what a Sadducee is, right? They don't believe in the afterlife. They don't believe in spiritual stuff. This is all a hoax. Nothing's going on. And this one he's been speaking against. He just... Wow. Jesus said that. If anybody had the right saying, yeah, take another ear. It was Jesus. Is he still in that habit today? How many times did he intercede for us? All right, I'll tell you what. Shut your mouth. You get a death sentence. Come on, I'm going to tell you. I'll take care of this. That's his love for us. How many times do we let our own self, oh, I deserve this. I got this. I got this right and that right. We might have plenty of rights. I thank God I live in the United States of America. But folks, Jesus comes first. And for us to show that love. I could imagine. Malchus. Maybe I'm just stuck in my head. But this is the guy who came to kill him and hated him and spoke against him. He fell back and he said, I am. He was powerless. He felt something. Then he felt that sword come against his ear. I come to kill him. He's bending down. He's bending down. Wow. If that ain't love. If that ain't love. Oh. Now Matthew. He says, then the soldier, chapter 27, verse 27. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus and gathered the whole army cohorts around them. This took them into the arena, I'll put it that way. I know sometimes we see in the movies where there's four or five soldiers there. If you ever watch The Passion of the Christ, and you see how giddy they are. Ah! Folks, we're talking over 600 soldiers there. They got Jesus now, and they're happy about it. Yeah, we got him. Hey, he sent us out to get him. We got him, kind of boasting about himself. We got this dude, man. He thought he was somebody. And in the midst of that, you probably found Malchus. Malchus is still part of them. I wonder how quick it took him to forget what Jesus did for him. Or maybe he was ashamed to say, hey, listen, man, don't. He's Jesus. He said, look what he did to my, he cut my ear off. Well, let me see that. Let me see your ear. Bob, can you see my, there's no mark on your ear. You're lying, aren't you? I mean, by that time, he might have himself convinced that it really didn't come off. It must have been that beer I had the night before. See how quickly Satan will try to dilute the things that God does in our life? You ever had a doctor report and you go back and it's changed? We must have made a mistake. Or people say, oh, wait, you must have made a mistake. How quickly we want to water down the things of God? But Malchus fell into peer pressure. You ever fall into peer pressure? You should be glorifying Christ and telling people about Jesus. But you get around your old friends. Oh, peer pressure shuts your mouth, right? But as time goes on, you get to the point you don't care, do you? You want to tell them about Jesus. So here we are. They got Jesus. They surrounded him. And then they stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him. He is stripped naked. Humiliation. Remember, there's 72,000 angels standing by. I can see them in heaven. Come on. Father, send us. Send us. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. Stay back. He's doing what? That's Jesus. Stay back. He's doing what he's supposed to do. How can it be? It's what he called to do. And we look around the world today, we look at other brothers and sisters, man, why does God let him go through that? Because he's called them to do this. To represent him around the face of the earth. We got to trust him. Trust him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. Now, folks, they spat on him. Now, this is a little bit deeper now into that. They didn't spit on him. I won't spit on you, Steve. This is them. And when you read it, at least 100 of them went past Jesus. And this is how they spat. They got down in the meat section. And they took that and spit in Jesus' face. This thing, goobers are hanging off his face. He is standing there and they're mocking him, making fun of him. But he come to die for your sins and my sin. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm here. And time again, spit and spit and spit and spit. And Jesus stood there out of love. Say, may I come to rescue you? His heart's breaking because they don't understand why he's there. But soon they would. That's love. That is love. And he is our example. See, we can't do the same thing without doing the same thing Jesus did. Prayer, fasting, in the Word, hanging out with God. Knowing who we are, what we're called to be. We are called to be the light of the world, salt of the earth. Called to be that. This place isn't our home, right? No, we belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom within us. But while we're here, we've been called to do what Christ has done, to share his love. Anybody ever been spit on before? I have. Yeah. Just doing my job. Trying to protect people. Have been cast at before? Called names before? Yeah. For me, that was my job. I was called to do that. And I didn't blame anybody. You ever do stuff when you're mad you wish you'd never done? Yes. How come today we can be so quickly insulted? How can we have our feathers ruffled so quickly? That's it. Talk to them no more. Or we come back and we lash out and do all kind of stuff. Then we turn around and say, hey, Jesus loves you. What? You did that? You believe that? Well, you can all just go to hell. Just go to hell, but God loves you. Is there any doubt in your mind what the scriptures have here that Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the Son of God, loves you? Amen. Amen. And he put the crown of thorns on his head and they took a reed. And we got thorns back on the cross. I didn't bring it up because they're really, really pricky. Put it on the head and beat it into his head. Ha 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 ha! What are you going to do now, Jesus? Ha ha ha! Wow. I think part of what going inside of Jesus said, man, I'm glad I came. I'm glad I came. Boy, they need me. They are so wrapped up in darkness. They're living this lie thing. Thank you, Father, that you chose me. I know you're strengthening me. I can get through this thing because I know, God, that you love him so much. But I'm going to do what you called me to do. And they're beating on him and say, oh, hail, King of the Jews. And they mocked him, making fun of him, spat on him. Verse 31 says, after they mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and let him wait to be crucified. And as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, who made press in the service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall. And after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him. And above his head, they put a plaque that says, this is Jesus, King of the Jews. At that time, two robbers were crucified with him. One on the right and one on the left. And people were passing by, wagging their heads, making fun of Jesus. Verse 40. Hey, you're going to destroy the temple we built in 3 days? Save yourself, if you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross. In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, he saved others, cannot even save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross, and we will believe. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him if he delights in him. And the robbers, in verse 44, who had been crucified with him, were also insulting him the same way. We'll go back to Luke, and we'll close in Luke 23. So we got Jesus, now he's stretched out on his cross. He's got two thieves on the right side and the left side of him. They're making fun of Jesus, insulting Jesus. Hey, no doubt they've been around. They've heard the stories of Jesus. They're making fun of him. People walking past making fun of him. Oh, man, I tell you. And Luke has it documented in 23:33. When they came to the place called the skull, they crucified Jesus and the criminals, one on the right and one on the left. But Jesus was saying, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And they cast lots, dividing up his garments. And the people stood there looking on. Even the rulers were sneering at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he's Christ of God, the chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up to him, offering him sour wine, and saying, if you are the King of the Jews, save yourself. Now there's an inscription above his head that said, this is the King of Jews, Luke's got documented. And one of the criminals who were hang there hurling abuse at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself. But the other answered, rebuking him, saying, Do not even fear God, since you are under the same sentence and condemnation? And we indeed are suffering justly, for we are receiving what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, truly I say to you, today you shall be with me in paradise. Dude, you see what's going on there? I mean, this is what I find fantastic when it comes to your testimony. This is Jesus on the cross. The robbers are both insulting him, making fun of him. But Luke, only Luke had this documented. And I shared before, I think, why Luke heard this. Because He is a doctor. And Jesus had been beat with a cat of nine tails, more than 40 stripes. They said, oh, only 39. 39 was only for Romans. He was not a Roman soldier. His internal organs are hanging out. Meat's hanging off of him. His face is distorted. And I see Luke going, how in the world is he still alive? He's looking at him, so he's closer to him. And he heard Jesus say, Father, forgive them. How many of us would say, okay, Lord, 72,000, bring them down here. But when he says, Father, forgive them, that one who was insulting him, making fun of him, wow. Man, we deserve this. But not Jesus. Hey, will you remember me today? Will you remember me? He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Can you imagine if Jesus would say this? And I think this is what some of us say. Hey, sorry, man. You know what? A couple hours, I'm going to be in heaven. Woohoo! You're going to be in hell. You're going to hell. Would that have changed the robber's attitude? And Jesus could say, hey, listen, man, you gotta change your ways. Hell is real when you're headed there. So we can say things like that now because Christ died, went, is buried, went to hell, took the keys back from Satan, from death, the grave. But today when people insult us, we have a habit of saying, oh, go to hell. Write them off. And we wonder why people aren't coming to Jesus. Well, if that's your Jesus, I want nothing to do with them. Jesus is our example. We have to train ourselves. We have to realize, man, if Jesus went through that, all he asks us to do is do the same thing. Pick up your cross, he says. Pick up your cross. And follow me, he's saying, die daily. Don't let the old man come back to life. See the purpose I called you. I come to deliver you from your sins. Redeem you. And man, that takes place inside of us. We want that for the whole world. We see our enemies lashing out at us. It should focus us to pray. To seek that their eyes would be open. Some might not, but to intercede. Justice is justice. In our land, we have a set of codes, and with those criminal codes is the sentence. And that's just the way it is. If I can speak for myself for 40 years in law enforcement, I arrested people, put them in jail. Some went to prison. I never took it personal when they lashed out at me. I never had one. I only had one person 40 years ever seriously threatened to kill me. Most of them would come back. Every one of them has come back to this ministry that's been there since I retired, and they thanked me. Thank me for the way I treated them. Folks, I wasn't perfect. Again, I was 43 years old if I got born again. But can you imagine that if I laughed at them, aha, you're going to prison. I don't care what the crime was, my heart broke. You know why? Because there's two types of people. Ones who've been in jail, and ones who never got caught. I just never got caught. Amen? So the way we act and treat people doesn't mean we can't stand up for what is right. We can't speak out against crimes that's going on in our nation. We can't say, man, look what this guy's doing. But we do it from Christ's point of view. That God, his heart breaks when you see the split in his creation. But man, when Jesus said, Father, forgive him. How can you ask them to forgive him? Look what they did to you. Man, if he can say, Father, forgive him for what they did to him, that has to be love. And it converted a person's life. And that's what he wants us to do. He wants us to speak out of love and share his love. Stand up for him. Stand up for righteousness. Well, Christ died. Took him off the cross. He was buried. In a borrowed tomb. Isn't it funny? Not funny, but they used a tomb that he didn't even belong to him. Why? But he wasn't going to use it very long, was he? Oh my. So they buried him in a tomb. They were scared to death that somebody's going to come and steal his body. But they'd say, oh, he came back to life. So they put this Roman soldiers around the tomb. They sealed it off of a seal. No one could break that tomb. No one could break that seal. Just paraphrasing here, guys, I know. Because no one was going to get in there. But man, it says in verse 53 of Luke 23, and he took it down and wrapped his linen cloth and laid Jesus in a tomb cut into the rock where no one had ever lain. It was the preparation day and the Sabbath was about to begin. Now the women who come with him out of Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and perfumes. And on the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. But on the first day of the week at early dawn they came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. And when they entered they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And while they were perplexed about this, behold, two men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, for he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. He is not dead, but he has risen. Amen. He overcome sickness, disease, death, hell, set the captives free. So much took place. And that's what we're celebrating today. His resurrection. Because of that, man, we have a hope for our future. We have a blessed hope. And as we call upon his name, we receive the forgiveness of our sins. He comes and lives in us. He comes. Remember, God breathed into Adam in the garden, become a living soul. But when they sinned, that spirit God breathed in them separated them. God removed them. That's why Jesus said, now we've got to be born again, born of the Spirit. Well, you recognize that, you recognize our evil ways, recognize we were born in sin. He said, we all need to be born again. Confess my sin to you, Lord. Come into my life, be my Savior, my Lord. That same spirit comes back. Then it says, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the one that come across at least 40 different authors over 1,500 years, who penned this Bible, comes and lives in us. The author of this lives in us to give us understanding. He said, that also, who we bring back to you everything that Jesus said. As you study the Scriptures, you might think, well, I don't remember nothing. But I'm telling you, in a time of need, that Holy Spirit brings it back to you. Wow. You might not be able to quote book and chapter and verse, but you quote what the Word of God says. I mean, there wasn't chapters and verses and commas and stuff. It was notes. delivered, guys, from our sin. That's what we're celebrating today. And someday, very soon, He's coming back for His church. He gave us the signs. This is signs of my return. And this is signs of when He comes back and steps on the Mount of Olives again. He comes back. The battle of Armageddon will be done. But according to Revelation 4.1 and the Word of God, the church is removed 7 years prior to that. Just like God put Noah in the ark and closed it up 7 days before the flood came, 7 days before it was going to take out the people, He does the same with us. So what you serve is not in vain. Fighting temptation and coming over the things of the world, not in vain. Turning your back on certain things, you're not doing it in vain. Turn your back, get closer to the cross, follow Christ, and stay in fellowship with other believers. Because it don't take too much to get into your mind. Start making you think differently, right? Amen. We all learn that from time to time. So stay with the believers, follow Him, and give Him the glory. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Woo! God is good.
He is
good, man. We just worship the Lord here for a little while this morning yet, okay? I know it's kind of warm in here. I know. That's okay. It's a lot hotter in hell, so we can go through a little steam this morning, right? Amen. But the thing, remember, God loves you. He wants us to be like Him. He wants us to be perfect like Him. We'll never be perfect, but we're covered under the blood of Jesus. If we fall today, we're still covered. But turn to Him. Turn away from sin. Don't embrace sin. Turn away from it. And enjoy the salvation He won from us at the cross. And may we be the same as Jesus, saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Wow. See, when He said that, I guess I'm still preaching here, you know? The reason Jesus said forgive them, because in the Scripture says also this, and this is very important for you and me both. Do not touch my anointed. You touch my anointed, I'm coming after you. That's what God says, okay? But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. Why? Because He came for them. He came to die for them. Don't wipe them out, okay? That don't mean they're born again yet. Understand that. But that sin is not held against them. Amen? So may we do the same thing. When you get hurt, you're upset, oh, God, forgive them. Doesn't mean you're going to hang out with them. Doesn't mean you're going to invite them to the next birthday party. That God, just forgive them what they did to me. Forgive them, Father, that don't hold this against them. And you'll be like Jesus. Amen? Amen.